Good morning. Very thankful to be here this morning. I've been looking forward to this meeting. It's a refreshment of my spirit every time I come, and I hope it is to yours too. I've had some thoughts recently that the Lord brought. I gave some of them at home. And I'd like to bring them here. I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to bring them here. And I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I'd like to think of the idea of peace on earth. Christmas time. It's kind of got a different feel to it than any holiday that I know of. Think of all the holidays we have here in this country. I know different countries have different holidays, but you've got Easter and Thanksgiving, and we've got the 4th of July and Memorial Day and Labor Day and other days. Christmas time is probably my favorite one. And there's a lot of secular stuff about it that I partake in and I enjoy. We open presents and we decorate the house a little bit, and we've got some candles that's the only time of year that we generally light them. They've got a smell that the instant I smell it, it takes me back to 30 years ago when I was a little boy. My mama would do the same thing. She'd light the candles at Christmas time. And to me, the ideal, or what captures what I would call the spirit of Christmas, or the atmosphere, in my mind, I've got a picture of a little house in the woods, and the snow's falling outside, and the trees, there's evergreen trees, and they're covered with snow. And it's cold, and in the house there's a fire, and there's a guy sitting by the fireplace with his feet stretched out. That would be me. And a cup of hot chocolate on my right hand, and a cup of popcorn, or a bowl of popcorn, on my left hand, and Christmas music softly playing. It's the atmosphere, you see. And the whole idea, why do you think that atmosphere, you know, the atmosphere is marketed. You can go into the store, you can even go into Lowe's, which is a tool store. I happen to go there quite a bit in my line of work, and it's managed to trickle down right there into that store. The whole atmosphere tries to capture the idea of peace on earth. It's peaceful. It's quiet. It's serene. It's you see pictures. I've seen pictures on Facebook, whole family sitting with their presents on Christmas morning in pajamas. I mean, you understand the picture. There's an idea. There's an atmosphere that's trying to be captured there, and it's an atmosphere of peace on earth. You know, think of the songs that we sing, and I love. There's actually a very good parallel here with the atmosphere, and I'll get to that in a few minutes. But think of the songs, the scriptures. What did the angels say when they told the shepherds? Peace on earth. They broke forth into... I would have liked to have heard that. I don't know if they were singing a tune, or if there was just a chorus of them and shouting at the top of their voices, or what it was. But I can tell you this, it was beautiful. It was enthusiastic, joyous. And I would have liked to, I would have loved to have been there to hear that. It says, and suddenly, I'm not going to turn there, but it's in Luke, second chapter. We read this about every year. We do it in our family every year. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Luke 2 and 8 down through 14. There were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In World War I, Christmas Eve 1914, this event happened in several different places, according to my understanding, along the front lines. But one story that I read, it was, I believe, an American soldier that said, we started to hear shouting. It's Christmas Eve in the evening. And said there was a shouting from the German lines, in English, saying, come over here. And they thought, well, you know, what's this? And they kept trying to get their attention. And finally, one of them in the American trenches shouted, you come halfway and I'll come halfway. And they got up out of their trenches and cautiously, a few of them at a time, and then more and more. And they met there somewhere in the middle. And the sounds of the Christmas anthems started to float through the air as they began to sing together. They played soccer. They traded gifts. They visited, talked with each other. Some of the generals had caught wind that this was in the air and some of them didn't like it. They had a war to finish up, war to fight. But the people in the trenches were sick of war. They wanted peace. A lot of them didn't want to be there anyway. They were just there because they were told to be there. Some of them were there because they were loyal to their country, but there was a time that they got out of the trenches and they came, they met, and on Christmas Day, it was quiet, it was peaceful. They played soccer together, they had a wonderful time with each other, and then they crawled back in the trenches and started shooting at each other again the next day. I'd like to think about a few of the songs that we sing. This is my favorite time of year, but it's not just because of the hot cocoa and the fireplace and the snow falling outside. It's what's behind all that. Yes. Chains shall he break. Yes. For the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Truly he taught us to love one another. I know I should have read that first, but his law is love and his gospel is peace. I think another verse in that song says, in all our trials, born to be our friend. I just wrote down a few phrases here and there's more. But it says he comes to make his blessings flow. How far? As far as the curse is found. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. In the recounting of the event on Christmas Day in 1914, what I was reading, he said there wasn't an atom of hate on either side. But what if they had been able to prolong that and not get back in the trenches and start killing each other again? You know, the whole idea of war and the might makes right is not part of the peace paradigm. The idea that Jesus came to bring, you know, they had a good idea. They got together. You know, the Lord's idea is for that kind of thing to be permanent.
That's right.
For it to be something that exists in every one of us. And when we come and we meet together, we may have conflict. We may have differences. We may not see everything eye to eye. We may have some different beliefs, even a few minor different theological beliefs. But there's an idea of having something inside that it trumps any kind of animosity I have toward you, any kind of spirit of wanting revenge or anything like that. This is what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. The prophets look forward to this. I'm not going to turn there, but in Isaiah may have had more about this than any of the others. I don't know. But he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's in Isaiah 9. And if you go two chapters down to Isaiah 11, it said, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be" what? Glorious. His rest shall be glorious. In 1 Peter 1 and 10, he said, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." This is something that we get to experience now, but I think sometimes we take it for granted, and other times we don't even really know what the privilege is that we have. I believe the Lord has this in a great measure for each one of us. And you know, it's something that I have come to realize by degrees. And I think that's okay. The Lord's going to, you can come to the Lord with all kinds of problems and in a mess, and the Lord can begin to straighten your mind out, your thinking, your perceptions, and your ideas about how to get along with people and all of this. The Lord's had to do that way to me. And the Lord's still working on me. I hope you all will put up with me a few more years, because I plan to be back. But you know, we have different personalities. It's something my father-in-law said a few years ago. It's always stuck with me. He said, "You know, if we were judged according to our personalities, we'd all be in trouble. We have personalities that don't always mesh, and we don't always agree on everything. But when we have the peace of God in our hearts, that's where fellowship really comes from." You know, there's a difference between just unity and fellowship. We can agree on, there are groups of people that agree on this and that. And they get together and they have unity. They may all of them be wrong about the same thing. But fellowship is when each of us has a connection with Jesus Christ personally down in our heart. And that creates a unity that's stronger than any other type of unity that you can find anywhere in the world. It's something that it overlooks faults. It goes past personalities. It says, well, love, can I interchange those words? I mean, it's all part of the gospel. Love, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. I'm thinking about Simeon and Anna. If you go back to Luke 2, 2:25, and behold, this is when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. I looked up the word consolation here, and it means comfort, solace, that which affords comfort or refreshment. You know that that's what they were looking forward to? That's what the prophets, they knew. I don't know if they knew the details of everything that was going to happen, but they knew that something big was coming. Something that was going to be... I wonder how many of them... You know, that one of the things I enjoy the most about the gospel is that we can live free from sin. And I wonder how many of those prophets... Have you ever noticed in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where he said, "I was confessing my sin and the sin of my people"? Those people had contact with God, and the Lord spoke to them, and the Lord showed them things, but there were things that I think that they said, I wish that I could live better than I do. I wish that I didn't. You know that that's what the Lord came to bring? He came to bring something down inside where I can look, wherever I'm at, I can look the temptation squarely in the face and say, "By the grace of God, no, I'm not going to do that." That is peace. That is a wonder, because I wasn't always able to do that. But since the Lord came into my heart, He's changed me, and I'm able to do that. I think about, like to go visit, go back to the thought that I mentioned at the first, the whole atmosphere. You know that people try to bring peace by all kinds of things. The whole idea of the sitting by the fire, snow falling outside, hot cocoa, all of that. It's something that's a very desirable picture. It's something that it's marketed, merchandised all over. And you know why? Because everybody wants it. Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants quietness of spirit. Everybody's thirsty.
Yes, that's true.
It's one of the reasons why I'm not I'm no believer in selective predestination, because the Scripture says, "Ho, him that is thirsty, let him come to the waters."
Yes.
Who isn't thirsty this morning? Who isn't thirsty? Everybody's thirsty. And so they try all sorts of things. Relaxing music, meditation, yoga, all of those things. Essential oils, candles, music. Some people get into running. Listen, not all of these things are wrong, all right? Now, some of the, I don't recommend that you get into the yoga and meditation. There are some things in there that are, but not all of these things are wrong, all right? Some people get super into fitness. The whole idea behind it is that they want peace on their earth. Peace on earth. It's something they want. They want quietness of spirit. There's a longing there. There's a thirst there. And there's actually, let me read a scripture first. Two of them, if you don't mind. We won't turn there, but Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Well, that doesn't fit the picture of the log cabin with the snow falling outside and the cup of hot chocolate sitting by the fire, does it? "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And another one that I will just read real quick, it says, "Be careful for nothing." This is Philippians 4:6. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know that peace, the idea of peace, is not accomplished when you're sitting by the fire with snow falling outside. It's not to be found because of all of our circumstances going great. We can have peace. Peace really is not related to our circumstances. It's not. Okay? It's not slightly influenced or some influenced by our circumstances. You can have the peace. You can still have sorrow. You can still have great burdens. And actually, the Lord, one of the world's way of having peace is either to dull your senses where you can't feel the pain, or to remove yourself from the situation where you don't know about it. The world's solution to having peace with toxic relationships, that's what they call it, is to cut off the toxic relationships. You don't need this person in your life, so go over here. The world's solution for pain is to shoot yourself up with drugs, medication, whatever it is, to where you still, maybe you're still around the situation, but you don't care anymore. You can just laugh the whole time anyway. I want to tell you that the Lord, part of the whole package that the Lord gives us is that we experience, He wants us to experience great sorrows. He wants us to experience heavy burdens. He wants us to experience those things because that is the only way that we can be healthy in our spirit, to where we can minister to each other, where we can have empathy. Those things are not solved by shooting ourselves up with this and that. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That was His design for us to have. I know recently, of course, I lost my dad in August. And it came to me, you know, the Lord ministered to me through that in a way that I am so thankful for everything that the Lord packaged in with that experience, for the things that I have been able to learn and am still learning from it, from the deep feelings. The Lord opened up scriptures to me from that I'd never had opened up to me before. The Lord opened my understanding on this area and that area. There have been other people since then that have had similar circumstances that I've been able to feel for them and pray for them and speak to them in a way I never could have before. You know, peace is not all about your favorite candidate winning the election. It's not all about, got to get my ducks in a row financially. But there really is a good parallel in the whole idea, the secular idea of the whole Christmas scene. The greenery hanging up, the fire sitting by it, got some good things to eat. It's cold outside, there's snow, it's beautiful. And the idea is that we're going to have all kinds of things that happen to us externally. You're going to be offended. Badly, most likely.
Yes.
There's been times when people have said things and just completely floored me. Didn't know how to take it. You can't always give the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes people meant to do things to you. There can be difficulties in relationships, financial difficulties, physical difficulties. And yet, with all of that, the picture that I painted about the whole atmosphere that is so coveted and marketed can be yours inside.
That's right.
All right?
That's right.
It doesn't matter who says what to you. It doesn't matter what they meant. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who passes away. Whatever happens, the sorrow can be there. The grief can be there. But in the midst of it all, we can have this experience. What about the people during the Holocaust? The awful experiences there. What about in our own country? We've had the blight of slavery and all of that. You know that God has peace on earth for every individual, no matter what their circumstances are, that can cover everything. And through the most trying circumstances, we can have something inside. We can have a hot fire and we can sit by it and drink our hot cocoa right there inside. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. That's what the whole Israel had, the idea. The rulers thought that Jesus was going to be this mighty military leader. And the word, even if they heard the words peace on earth, they might have said, yeah, we're going to have peace on earth. We're not going to bow to anybody. Their idea of peace was an idea that involved them not having to humble themselves, not having to give up any of their ideas, any of their power, the respect and the all the reverence that they had from the people. They enjoyed those lofty positions. The Lord said, I'm going to come and I'm going to bring those people low. And the people that are downtrodden and oppressed, I'm going to lift them up. And everybody is going to have the ability to have the ones that are to have their identity in me.
That's right.
In Jesus Christ.
Right.
We're the ones that, this is something that has helped me so much in my life. I used to feel that my worth was performance based. Okay? I wanted to be good in what I did. And so I would go out and there were days that I didn't get much done in my job, and I would feel crushed, or maybe not just my job, whatever it was. Until I read one day, somebody was up preaching, and they read Colossians 2 and 10, where it says, we are complete in Him. And when I read that, when I heard that, I said, you know what? I can have a complete identity, a peace, something that I can run to, and it's in Jesus Christ. And people that are on the other end of the spectrum that are proud and full of themselves, the Lord wants to take those props out from under them, but still give them an identity in Him. Like to read in Hebrews. Maybe I'll read in Ephesians first. Ephesians 2 and 14. Really, I just want to get a phrase here. Maybe I'll read a little bit more. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. In the 19th verse, well, I've got to read the 17th. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And then I'd like to read one last scripture. In Hebrews 4 and 14, I'll just go ahead and read it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I believe that was already mentioned earlier in this meeting, maybe this morning. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What if people oppose us? What if it's, hopefully not, but what if it was your own spouse or your own children, so the nearest and dearest to you, and you knew and you know in your heart that what you're doing is right, but you're having to go through fierce opposition? The Lord can provide everything that you need. You can come before Him. It's not related to our circumstances. You don't have to have, you don't have to, you know that finding peace in the world can be very expensive, very costly, a lot of effort. People go through great lengths to do it. They surround themselves with things. They get into hobbies. They buy things. They have things that they hold very dear to them, and they have to have all this in order to maintain what they call peace. But then they get into a situation that maybe some of that is absent. And I would say that a lot of them don't have peace anyway through all of that that they do. What if we need some extra grace? What if we need... You know, there a while back there was a situation that I asked, I struggled and I didn't know what to do. It was with, there was an individual, and I went to a friend of mine that I respect, and they said, you need to pray and ask the Lord, beg Him that His love will just completely flow through you and cover this problem. And I did. And you know, the Lord did that for me. And I was able to come back to the same situation completely unchanged. And there was a difference. Before I was just praying, Lord, just give me the grace. Give me the grace. And it was like, I just need to be able to get through this without snapping their head off. You know what I'm talking about. But there's something that the Lord can give you more than that. He can give you a peace that's down inside that can cover everything. I thought of a song. Maybe we can sing it. But it says, I've searched and I've searched the world over to fulfill my soul, but came back from searching to find I am nowhere at all. But Lord, when I found you, I knew that my searching was through, because the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. And I'd like to leave you with two challenges this morning. If you don't have peace inside, that's exactly what the Lord came to bring. Precisely. You can have the whole... You're not going to get it by going and filling yourself with all the things. You're not going to get it by trying to get your circumstances perfect. You're not going to get it by cutting off all the relationships you think are toxic. In fact, that's exactly the wrong way to go about it. But you can have the peace of God reigning inside, where it'll be with you through conflict, through great disappointment, through sorrow, in relationships, no matter who wins the election, no matter what happens to your finances or the economy, this can be there. And you know what? It's really, it's what the Lord wants for you this morning. And I'll tell you something else. Maybe you found it. The world needs this. Let's take this to everyone we know. The world, all the biting and the fighting, the strife and all that, this is what they need. They don't need more hot chocolate. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You pray for me.